Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Crossroads, where faith and culture meet. I'm Dean Welty, along with Rita Dunaway, and this is now our sixth program drawn from a great book entitled Why You Can't Stay Silent, written by Tom Minnery, former vice president of Focus on the Family. Now, as some of you know already because you were a part of it, this book was the primary text for a series of annual 10-week seminars that were held on the banks of beautiful Lake Shenandoah over the past 10 years. It is the best book of its kind, and its message is now even more compelling than ever, with multiple reasons why we can't stay silent in a world that seems to have gone stark raven mad, a topsy-turvy world where good is evil and evil is seen as good. However, no matter how bad it gets, Minnery reminds us that Christians are called to do good all the time. He gives examples of how throughout history, Christians have made the world a better place in so many different ways, and we must keep on doing the same, come what may. He also inspires us with the struggles of ordinary men and women who were called to stand for good against evil, even when the forces of evil seemed overwhelming. But then he questions why some people avoid getting involved. He asks whether activism is always ugly. And then what keeps us going when we come under attack by those who don't know God and who want to silence our message? Finally, and here's where we are today, Minnery offers some clear, simple suggestions for how we, too, can make a difference for good in what Focus on the Family founder James Dobson described as the great civil war of values in America. So, Rita, this is where the rubber meets the road for us. Right. It's our challenge. Will we stay silent in the face of a rapidly decaying culture, or will we engage the world around us and fulfill the Christian mandate to be salt and light in the world?
It is a big challenge, Dean, isn't it?
It's a great challenge. So, Rita, I'd kick us off. How can we wrap it up? And where do we go from here?
Well, this last chapter in Minnery's book is called I'm Only One Person, What Can I Do? Who hasn't felt that way? I know that I have felt that way many, many times. And Dean, I know that you and Janet, in your work with the Valley Family Forum, have shared that sense of being overwhelmed by what we see happening around us. Do you think, in your experience, have you come across people who never get engaged precisely because the problems loom so large and they just feel overwhelmed and can't identify a starting point?
Rita, I've heard this described as a picture of a ping pong ball going up against a wall. One ping pong ball feels terribly lonely, but you get a whole bushel basket of ping pong balls and throw them against that wall. It's encouraging. So yes, it's a natural reaction for many of us. And Rita, at this point, I really want to thank many of our listeners who write such beautiful notes of encouragement to us, because they know from their own experience that it can be a lonely and difficult struggle at times. But here's the bottom line. We are an impatient people, and we get discouraged, for example, when 43 years have gone by and 58 million babies have been sacrificed on the altar of our convenience, yet abortion is still legal in America. That's discouraging. Yes, we get discouraged when powerful and otherwise intelligent people are pressured into believing that a man should be able to marry another man. Or when a man who decides that he feels like a woman on any particular day, he's allowed to use women's restrooms and locker rooms. What on earth is going on? And yes, we get discouraged. Yeah. And we get discouraged when Christians come under attack for their beliefs while their attackers are praised and giving more and more power. It is at times like this, Rita, when I am inclined to ask, like the prophet Habakkuk, Lord, we are surrounded by evil. Where are you? And why aren't you doing something about it? It can be discouraging, especially when we feel like we're alone and nobody else cares.
Yeah, and when we feel like our side is losing, I think it's just, you know, psychologically it's true. Everyone wants to be on a winning team. No one wants to be, or few people want to be on a team that they perceive to be the losing team. You know, I am so comforted every time I remember what James Dobson once said so succinctly. And I've mentioned it before in the program, but he said, God doesn't call us to be successful. He calls us to be faithful. That is our goal. We know that in the end, God wins. Our side wins. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess. That is the ultimate reality. And in terms of the here and now, of course we want to do everything we can to be successful at what we set out to do. But we have to remember that ultimately the results are in His hands. And I draw comfort from that. So often, I have to remind myself of that fact so frequently. And there's something else I remind myself about that actually my boss, Mark Meckler, the president of Citizens for Self-Governance, he was the one who said to me, God is the only one who knows what success looks like. You and I look around and we see various efforts that we undertake. And if we don't accomplish the goal that we had for ourselves, we say we were unsuccessful. But the truth is, we don't know what God's plan for our efforts really was. Who are we to say that we have failed or succeeded? Because He is the one who determines what success looks like every day for us.
Well, Rita, as you spoke, I just had to think of Jesus. By the world standards, He
yes.
was a failure.
Yeah.
By the
world, He ended up dead.
He ended up dead, and what did He have to show for it except 12 lonely disciples and a couple other people who had a passing fancy for Him? And then you look at the early disciples. They must have felt like failures at times too. And yet look at the church that they planted that stands strong yet today. But as you say, this in fact is a mark of spiritual maturity, to be faithful and obedient in doing what God has called us to do, but to trust Him for the results. And in this last chapter that we're talking about today, Minery points out that the very act of moving toward engagement and activity, this is an outward focus, this is a mark of spiritual maturity. And I like the way Minery describes it. People whose hearts are tugged by some violation of God's righteousness and who are moved to do everything possible to restore some corner of His kingdom, those are the ones who stand out as models for what we are doing today, and that is our call. Minery also emphasizes that for Christians, there is no retreat from the battle. Only continued faithfulness to God's call. Our cause, I love the way Minery says this, our cause is right and just. Therefore, we won't give up, we won't give in, and we won't quit until we win. And yes, I hope to be around when that last knee is bowing to the Lord. But it's a reality. Rita, it's not always going to be easy, but you have reminded me of an old hymn by Isaac Watts. And I would like to quote for our listeners just a few verses of it because
Please
I am
do.
Reminded of it yeah. frequently. It's entitled, and I know many of our listeners have heard this in their church. I don't know if it's still being sung. I haven't heard it for a long time. It's entitled, Am I a Soldier of the Cross? And it continues, Am I a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own His cause or blush to speak His name? This verse I really like. Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Yes, that's my expectation. I want to go to heaven on a flowery bed of ease. Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace to help me on to God? And then this battle song at the end. Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by Thy word.
I
you
love
it.
Sing
it.
What a challenge. No one wants me to sing it.
It's a great song and a great tune.
Well, you know, what's funny is just the other day as I was preparing for this program, I received an email from someone, just, you know, run-of-the-mill correspondence. But at the bottom of the email was this quote. He said, "Life shouldn't be a journey to the grave with the intention of arriving safely in a pretty and well-preserved body, but rather to skid in broadside, thoroughly used up, totally worn out, and loudly shouting, 'Wow, what a ride. Thank you, Lord.'"
Sounds like a water slide.
Yeah. But I love that picture. You know, we need to make the most of the time that we are given. And we're going to get back to time in a minute. But, you know, the bottom line for this chapter, I think, is that confronting the world and challenging worldly philosophies that are contrary to God's word, confronting evil, is not easy. It is far easier and more comfortable to spend our days focused on our own pursuits. But we are called to love our neighbors. We cannot escape that. And loving our neighbors means engaging the culture and carrying God's banner of truth into the public square. It means standing for righteousness and against evil.
Well, you're right, Rita, but I want to go back to this stanza of this hymn that I just mentioned. I, too, got a note of encouragement from a listener and someone who's been a part of the Valley Family Forum saying, "I know you and Janet must get discouraged at times, but I just want to lift you up." Mm. I wrote her back, and I quoted from this song. "Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease?" But yes, Rita, and just to repeat, yes, it can be difficult. And there are many times when I would rather be on a golf course playing tennis or hiking on some scenic mountain trail. Sure thing. But in this final chapter, Minnery gives us some suggestions for the Christian who is determined to do his duty. And he starts out with the question, how to know what to tackle? As we pointed out earlier, the decay in our society is all around us. There are challenges everywhere we look. But Minnery points out that God naturally sensitizes different people to different things, and he calls people and organizations to a variety of roles by burdening them with different concerns and different issues.
Yeah, I know, Dean, that defining a particular focus was a challenge you dealt with when you started the Valley Family Forum many years ago. And I know that there have been times when you and the forum in general have been criticized for what you aren't doing. You know, why aren't you tackling the problem of the homeless? Why aren't you worried about the poor? How did you deal with that as you started the forum? What issues burdened you, and how did you limit the focus of the forum? And is it a challenge when people confront you that way?
You forgot global warming.
Yeah.
Why aren't we doing something about climate change?
Yeah, there you go.
Well, Rita, it didn't happen overnight. It was a process, and when Janet and I returned from being overseas off and on for 26 years, and you've heard this story before, we definitely had that Rip Van Winkle epiphany, what is happening to our country. And then when our first grandson was born, we became more and more concerned about the coarsening and the moral decline of our culture. What kind of world are we leaving to our children and to our grandchildren? And for us, it soon became clear that it centered around five discrete but interrelated problems. First of all, the need to fight for the sanctity of life. That means putting an end to this Holocaust on the unborn in the form of abortion. It means fighting for the sanctity of marriage because we see broken families through divorce, cohabitation. It means fighting for higher standards of community decency and working with you and Scott to fight against the SOBs in our area. And just for our listeners who may not have heard this term before, that doesn't stand for what you think it stands for. It stands for sexually oriented businesses. And as of today, three of those businesses, all three of them, have been turned into legitimate businesses, ice cream parlors, new creation. And so that was a third concern. Then fighting increasingly today for our religious liberty, Christians being faced with lawsuits, boycotts, and censorship, and then for more and better education opportunities for all of our children. Those are the five concerns that we feel. If we can address those and if we can restore virtue in those areas, we will go a long way to restoring America to its godly heritage.
So you had to face that question.
Absolutely.
And deal with that issue. How are we going to limit the scope of what we're trying to do?
Yes.
And in the same way, individuals have to deal with that because we all have a limited amount of time and talent. So Minery in the book provides a list of questions people can ask themselves as they try to determine where and how they are best suited to engage the culture. And I find this list very helpful. The first question is, do you have useful experience in an issue? He points out that often the most effective participants in a godly cause have known the problem intimately at some point.
It's just common sense. Mm-hmm. If you've had experience and if you have struggled with a particular issue and you have come out of that and achieved victory, yeah, your heart goes out to people who are still struggling. For example, and just to repeat, we work best when we draw from our own personal experience and when we are driven by our deepest concerns and passions. I'm going to tell the listeners something that they don't know about you and probably will embarrass you.
Oh,
yeah, there you go. You have been trained as a lawyer. You have a passion for justice, for liberty, for promoting laws that reflect these concerns. I'd like to know that story. What drew you, if you want to amplify on that? But for example, listeners don't know that you have testified before the Ohio Supreme Court on a teacher who was driven out of his classroom for his Christian beliefs, written briefs for the Supreme Court. You've developed that passion. That's your training. That's your call. What brought you to that?
What brought me to
this passion for liberty as a lawyer? You could be working in a very important law firm and drawing big bucks.
Yeah, well, the short answer is God placed that desire and passion within me. But, you know, then God gave me the opportunity to gain the skills and the education, the training I need to do it. And so, as you said, it's just common sense that that would now be the way that I try to serve.
It comes out of a spiritual growth, though, too, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That has to precede that call somehow. Yeah. Makes your heart attuned. Well, for me, trained as a teacher and then as a diplomat with 26 years of experience, I, too, have a passion, like you, for seeing that our Judeo-Christian values are incorporated into our laws, but then pointing to other people who are broken in their addictions, mm-hmm, and sexual brokenness. They want to get involved in local groups like Greater Hope, Eastgate Ministries, New Creation, and AvaCare. We'll talk about them later. Mm-hmm. Still others, hearts are drawn to help the homeless, the hungry, the prisoner. They can get involved in groups like the Salvation Army, Mercy House, and prison ministries. It's drawing from our own experience and our own passions.
Yeah, that's right. Well, the second question that a person should ask is, has God planted in me a heart for lost people? A person who is committed to personal evangelism will have opportunities in a wide variety of ministries to reach the lost as they are struggling and perhaps searching for truth. And you know, Dean, I really think of those people on the front lines because nothing we can do is more important than reaching the lost with the gospel. The problem of man's separation from God is the most fundamental of all problems that every person faces. So the people who have a heart to reach the lost with the gospel are on the front lines and just so valuable in any type of ministry.
Well, Rita, very simply put, that is the primary role of the church, not just for eternity, but also for the here and now. America is in need of a spiritual revival,
yes,
and without that, there can be no moral or political reform. I think of Alexis de Tocqueville, 170 years ago, said America's strength lies in her churches. She is great because she is good, and if America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. Therefore, In addition to the ministries that we've just talked about, those who have a passion for evangelism can get involved in groups like Industrial and Commercial Ministries here in the area, ICM, the Steve Wingfield Evangelistic Association, Christian groups like Weekday Religious Education, Young Life, Campus Crusade for Christ, and many others who reach out to our public schools and universities, and a whole range of activities, overseas mission activities. This is the call of the church.
The third question, Dean, is what role suits your personality? And this is important because regardless of the issue that one is passionate about, there are any number of different roles one can play in furthering the effort to address that issue. You know, some people are naturally better behind the scenes. Some people are naturally born leaders and have developed those skills.
Well, just in terms of the Valley Family Forum example, we have volunteers who help us with our administrative issues, our bookkeeping, our event planning, web design, writing, teaching. Basically, it means following the issues and activities that you will find from our emails, from our website, from your experience in the community, and you then have an opportunity to be that voice for good and a rebuke against evil in your own sphere of influence. Yeah. I love this concept of differing
yes,
gifts.
Yes, so important. The fourth question is, how much time do you have? And this is a big one, Dean. We all go through many different stages of life, and there is just more time in some stages to spare than in others. But I am convinced, Dean, that most of us have some time available to serve in some of these ministries if we are really determined to find it. You know, when my kids were very small, there was not much time available for other pursuits, but there was almost always some time. Time enough for me to write a letter to the editor, make a couple of phone calls, go to a city council meeting. You know, time is a resource that God has given us, just like everything else. And it's our responsibility to be wise stewards of that resource. I was very convicted years ago when I read something that reminded me how wrong I was to ever think of anything as an imposition on my time. I am not an owner of time. The time that I have belongs to the Lord, and I pray frequently that I use the time He has given me in a way that pleases Him. Dean, I have to mention here that I have been so inspired as I see you and Janet using what most people consider their retirement years. You and Janet are using and have used those years to serve God's kingdom and to build. Would you just comment briefly on this topic?
Yeah. Very briefly. Yes, I really looked forward to spending time on the golf course, on the tennis court, hiking the mountain trails. And we do that. We love to travel. Yeah. But Rita, our inspiration comes from people like Moses. And we put it very simply whenever we're asked about it. When people talk about retirement, I say, that ain't in the Bible. It is not a biblical teaching.
Oh, dear, yes.
Moses died with his boots on, and so shall we. Yeah. And seniors have so much to offer in terms of life experience, practical skills, financial resources, and time. Mm-hmm. Come on, seniors. This is a
come on
call
down
to action.
Yeah. Well, I wish we could talk more about that, but we need to move on. Our time's drawing short. The fifth question is, what skills do you have? Of course, God gives our skills and talents for a reason. We talked about this earlier. We should use our skills and talents for God's purposes. But Dean, I wonder if you've ever seen this become a crutch for people. Do you ever encounter people who think that because they don't have some special skill set, there's nothing they can do to help?
Well, Rita, I've already talked about this concept of differing gifts. I think it is so critical. God has given each of us a gift in very different ways from anybody else. He's given us special talents, all to be used for his honor and glory. I look back at biblical leaders. They were almost all reluctant leaders. Look at Moses. I can't speak. I can't lead. They won't believe me. God uses us with whatever talents and gifts he has given us for whatever purpose he has called us to do. Nehemiah was not a wall builder, but God called him to build a wall. And that's what God calls each of us to do, to use our gifts for his purpose.
The last question, Dean, is to what are you committed? What is your calling from God? And I just want to quote the book here. Tom Minnery says, "What has moved you? What has assaulted your sense of justice, compassion, or fairness, even though you may have absolutely no experience or skill on a particular subject?" He says, often it is sheer determination that conquers a host of inadequacies.
Well, Rita, I think it's time to get really practical
here. Yeah, let's do it. We're running out of time.
All I can say here is, for those listeners who really want to get engaged, a very simple thing to do is go to our website and sign up for our email alerts. Go to valleyfamilyforum.org, and you will find a frequent alert on your screen talking about issues and opportunities as they occur. Let's just start with that. valleyfamilyforum.org.
That's right. And, you know, related to that, we have been looking for some time in the forum to establish a team of people to commit to attending a number of city council, school board, or county board of supervisors meetings every year so that they can keep the rest of us aware of issues being raised that especially require our involvement. Dean, what are other ways people can get involved?
Well, I've already mentioned a number of those, Rita. AvaCare, for example, for those who have a concern for the unborn, for women facing unplanned pregnancies. You can go to avacareforyou.org. And then the other groups that I mentioned, Greater Hope, Eastgate Ministries, Prison Fellowship is another example. And there's also a local organization called Kingsway Prison and Family Outreach. And you can contact them at KingswayPrisonFamilyOutreach.com. So many ways. Samaritan's Purse is another example. Salvation Army. So many, many opportunities.
Yeah, if you are an attorney listening to this program, you certainly have a special skill set that is desperately needed. I would encourage you to Google Alliance Defending Freedom and learn how your special skill set can be used in protecting religious freedom. That's so important.
And finally, Rita, Convention of States. I know you want to say a word for those who are concerned about the Constitution of our country.
That's right. Go to conventionofstates.com to learn more and sign up to get involved. Well, it's time for us to close, Dean. To our listeners,
so much more to say.
Yeah, so much more always. Thank you to our listeners for joining us. This is Rita Dunaway with Dean Welty and our engineer Robbie Meadows. And if you're listening and would like to help support Crossroads and keep us on the air, I want to invite you to contribute either by sending a personal check or by becoming a business or church sponsor. Did you know that Crossroads airs on 4 different stations, 5 different times every weekend throughout the Valley and throughout Central Virginia even? If you become a business sponsor, you will not only help keep Crossroads on the air, you will get widespread promotion for your business. So send an email to family@valleyfamilyforum.org if you want to learn more about how you can help. Thanks again for listening. Have a great week putting your faith into action at the crossroads where faith and culture meet.
Rejoice, 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 rej voice rings.